Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. It is June 14th, 2026. I'm your host, Blois Olson. This week is the 1 year anniversary. It was 1 year ago this week that Melissa and Mark Hortman were assassinated. John and Yvette Hoffman were shot, and Hope Hoffman was attempted to be shot. It's been a heavy week, and we keep saying that in Minnesota. And socially, it's one of the conversations that comes up outside the world of politics is how does Minnesota continue to out kick its coverage in big stories? We're not going to dig into that today, but I want to acknowledge it because on Friday, I was with a group of people who travel nationally and asked that question or are asked that question. And people who travel oftentimes report back that that's one of the reactions that people get when they travel. But this week, we are going to honor Melissa Hortman, her leadership, the stories. And in the take, I'm going to talk about the lost connection of relationships in this business. We are going to have a 20% turnover in the Minnesota legislature. We are going to have new senators at the federal level. We're going to have a new governor. And a year from now, Minnesota politics could be reshaped, whether it's by party, but for sure by personality. And oftentimes, when we cover issues, even here on the Sunday Take, or we talk about them in the newsletter or on the air, we're really digging into the dynamics of the day. And the dynamics of the day don't often win the way in which the modern dialogue and us versus them intends or expects it to win. Some of the trolling and the memes, even of this last week, suggest that it's more for the clicks than it is for the connection. I mean, I like a good troll as much as anyone, but I find it tough to think about the clicks this week when a year ago, the unthinkable. The surreal nature of the assassination was mind-boggling. And I still feel like there's missing puzzle pieces. And I know others much closer to the tragedy than I do also feel like there's missing puzzle pieces. But the reason those puzzle pieces are missing from this investigation or motive or things like that are some of the things we can learn about the way Melissa Hortman led, the way she understood the importance of relationships, the linear way in which she found ways to get things done. Agree with her or not, her ability to navigate in a volatile time with a calm stoicism that even myself, the stoic, can relate to, is something that I think we can all learn from. There are leadership lessons in this. And in this era, we need more leaders, and Minnesota needs more leaders that are more linear, centered, and calm. Steeped in policy, steeped in research, not just worried about clicks, but rather the connection. So when we come back, we're going to talk to two legislators, Representative Kelly Moeller, who served with Melissa but didn't know her before serving or running, and Representative Mike Howard, who was a staffer at the House, knew Melissa well as a staffer, then became a member of the DFL House Caucus, and how they are choosing to honor and remember Melissa. But what are the leadership lessons that we can take from Melissa Hortman and her time in the house. Those are the key pieces to this memory. Because if you think about the troll of the week, which was the hug between Angie Craig and Tom Emmer that Tom Emmer put out on social media to make a political point and maybe help Craig's Senate challenger opponent, Peggy Flanagan, because Republicans would rather face Flanagan in the fall than they would to face Craig. It's sad that a hug between bipartisan members of Congress becomes a troll rather than an opportunity to talk about how they both get things done for Minnesota and how the delegation works together for Minnesota. And Melissa Ortman worked together with her colleagues on both sides of the aisle to get things done for Minnesota. So when we come back, Representative Kelly Moeller. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. My next guest is Kelly Moeller. She's a state representative. She served with Melissa Ortman. And she's also an attorney. And as we've mentioned, kind of the methodical brain of Melissa Ortman and how she stayed focused on goals, I think it's one of those things that it's, important to remember in a time of leadership and governing. So, Representative Moeller, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Just here as we reflect this weekend, it's been a year, and just initial thoughts on the memories of Melissa as you served with her and as you came into the legislature, not as a political creature, I know, because you represent my hometown, but as somebody who just wanted to serve.
Exactly. Well, I think about Melissa in sort of three different categories because I wasn't in the political realm before I decided to run in 2018. And so I first got to know Melissa on the campaign trail, and was immediately impressed and in awe of how she was just really out there all the time, right? Like knocking doors, going all over the state, raising money, meeting with candidates, meeting with other groups of people. I mean, just, I remember thinking when I first met her, like, how does she rest? How does she sleep? But, to your point earlier, she was driven by the goal, and the goal was to have a majority in the House. So that's sort of the first category and how I got to know her. And then coming in a very large new class, that we called ourselves the Majority Makers class, as we did get a majority in the House that year after the 2018 election. And just seeing what an incredible leader she was, all of these new members, many of us who didn't have any sort of political background or some with no policy experience, really guiding people and helping them see their own leadership capacity. And then, as we work together, then getting to know her on a more personal level as well. And just as someone who was always interested in our kids, our any vacations we had, any other things going on in our personal life, if they were hard times too, being understanding about that, and accommodating. So really, it's getting to know Melissa in all of those different aspects.
When you think about you running and serving, obviously service, as I said a year ago, and I try to remind people today, we think of, police and fire and military, but legislators and the service and the sacrifice that they make is amazing and needs to be recognized not just for the politics of it, but for the service. You are not running again. As you reflect on your time there, your time with Melissa, what do you take away as kind of life lessons or things you'd want other people to know about public service from your eyes or the way Melissa did it?
Yeah, thank you so much. That's a really great question. And I think people, a lot of people assume that members of the public get involved in politics or elected office because they want to make all this money or want some kind of power. And really, there are so many people at the local and state levels, especially, that are in it for the right reason, right? Like we all just want to make a difference in people's lives. That was really the core of who Melissa is and was. And she constantly reminded us that, our number one service was to our constituents in our district. And so it really is that idea of improving people's lives, helping our constituents. A lot of us took pretty drastic pay cuts to be, go into the legislature, and I'm not asking for people to be sympathetic about that, but just to realize that you're not like making a lot of money when you decide to run for the legislature, and especially, city and county, those kinds of elected positions too, often are like volunteer positions, right? So I think it's important to recognize that. No matter what side of the aisle people are on politically, I think it's, the vast majority of us get into that work for the right reason. We just have different ideas about how to get the end result.
So let's just peel back another layer on that. When you think about, that service and going into the legislature, I talk about candidate quality, policy over politics. When I interviewed retiring Senator Ann Resch, she said, you when you enter the building, you become a policymaker rather than an activist. And as you think about 20% of the legislature turning over, and you were a part of the last big turnover of 20% or so, what do you think new legislators should know, and what do you think the best way to, help those new legislators on policy is for the public and for listeners of Sunday Take?
Yeah, it is really important to think about how do you get to that end goal. And again, to your point earlier about that was what Melissa was always trying to achieve, right? How do we get to that end goal? We want to create good policy. You really have to go in with an open mind. I mean, I remember one of the first bills I drafted when I was in office, I was trying to get it perfect, right? Like I was trying to make sure every word was just how it needed to be. And, as a lawyer, I'm thinking about these things. And it was delaying the bill getting heard or introduced. And I remember staff saying, every bill gets amended. It doesn't have to be perfect on the first try. And that was really a light bulb moment for me because, get the bill introduced, and then you've presumably done a lot of work beforehand to know what it is you're trying to accomplish, but then really digging into the weeds with the people that it impacts, different experts, and then working across the aisle to figure out how to make the changes needed to get to that end goal. And I think that's really how, Melissa saw this work as well. She wasn't an absolutist, right? Like you just have to, you have to be flexible when you are doing that work. And often if you are listening to what people are saying, even if, at the end of the day, let's say your colleagues across the aisle are going to vote no on the bill, they have offered valuable input sometimes that you incorporate into the bill to actually make it better, even though, they're not going to vote for it. If you have an open mind and you listen, you can make those changes.
In a moment of a little levity here, I will say, Representative Mueller, I'm glad that you learned there's no such thing as a perfect bill right before you retire. I'm just teasing you. But as we wrap here, just any other reflections about your time in the legislature with Melissa, or things you really want Minnesotans to know this weekend as we remember Mark and Melissa Hortman?
Yes, I think it's really hard looking at, comments on social media, and I'm loving seeing all of the memories shared in photos from colleagues and other people that knew her, and then looking at really hateful comments as well. And I think it's important to remember the humanity in Melissa and people who do this elected work, that she was an incredible person with a family, with friends, just an incredible leadership style. And if, you know, even if people disagreed with her from a policy or political standpoint, to remember at the end of the day that she was somebody who was loved. And people who are elected are humans. And I hope people will take a reflection on that this weekend and think about the things that they say and do about elected officials.
Representative Kelly Mueller, thanks for that, because I think the one thing we have to remember this weekend is that she and Mark gave their life because they were public officials. And that's the ultimate sacrifice, whether you're a police officer, a military officer, military veteran, soldier, etc. So thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
When we come back, more on Melissa Ortman's legacy. We are back on Sunday Take. And as we reflect and remember Melissa Ortman this weekend, I think it's important to hear from those who knew her very, very well. And Representative Mike Howard is one of those folks that I've known. I checked the logs, Mike. We're going on 20 plus years here because you started when I met you first. You were a communications staff in the Minnesota House. You rose to communication director and then. And then you ran. So you're the thread of you and Melissa Ortman runs many decades, both as a staffer and then as a colleague. And you, like a many, shared some of the texts that I shared this week of the way in which she would respond. So Mike, just as we take this moment, just first of all, thinking of you and your colleagues, but also when you need a little strength, or when you went through this last session, what are the things that you kind of focus on about the late speaker?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And we do go way back, almost 20 years. I started as a legislative staffer in 2007, and so I've known Melissa in various roles. And one thing that's just been reflecting on that entire time, it's been amazing to just experience and be close to her growth as a member into the leader and most consequential speaker that we've ever had. And the thing that I think has been the through line for her and what made her so successful as a state representative, as a someone that gets stuff done, is just her focus on solving problems. She's one of the most concrete sequential legislators I ever worked with, and she wanted to spend her time and her energy solving problems and getting things done. She sort of like brought a no drama attitude into a place that's all drama, right? Into the
It
theater
can
of the
be.
legislature. And she wanted to focus on the nuts and bolts of how do we get things done. And I think that's in the tougher moments, especially over the last year, finding a way to sort of ground yourself in what Melissa would want us to do would be to solving problems and then solving the next one after that.
You know, one of the things I think about when I think about it, and I think you have a similar experience, is the growth. You just mentioned kind of how she grew. I don't know if you were the staffer who told her to call me after she was a freshman who made some colorful comments to a constituent, and there was this fear of blowback. And I can't say she wasn't confident, but she really was worried about, you know, public blowback, about using some expletives with a constituent. And I just remember saying, "Was this the way you normally talk?" And she said, "You know, my family had a junkyard or a parts business. I've been around men who swear all my life." And I said, "Well, men have been swearing at the legislature since beginning of history. You shouldn't be afraid of it just because you're a woman." And I said, "If it's natural for you to talk like that, then acknowledge it and move on." And And from that moment on, to see her grow in confidence, in her leadership, in her ability to go from that freshman to the speaker to a tie, is it's really remarkable if you think about it. The older we get, the more we see people grow. But what are the growth moments that you saw from when you staffed and were staffed to when you were a member and she was a speaker during a tie? And you no doubt were both an advisor and a member to her, sometimes probably in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, thinking about a few, I'm trying to think if there's some specific examples, but one of the, you mentioned Melissa's colorful language. She, one thing that's always been the same is she authentically is herself. And she doesn't seem to have an ability, some, there's a turn on or turn off a certain switch that some folks in sort of when they're in the public limelight or when they have a microphone in front of them. Melissa was just Melissa. But the areas that I really saw growth is see her go from a legislator pushing sort of the issues that she cares about to someone who led a whole caucus. And in her earlier years in the legislature, she was one of the members willing to sort of ruffle feathers or go do something that caucus leadership maybe wasn't the most thrilled about. And sometimes as a communication staffer, you want order and caucus to be pulling in the same direction. And Melissa was one of those members that maybe she said something in the press or wanted to hold a press conference X, Y, or Z. Communication staffers are trying to provide a little guidance. Let's kind of get back on this track versus the other. The irony of that is seeing her rise to a level of speaker where sometimes then that's her purview. How do we keep us pulling in the same direction? But I actually think that that sort of experience for her as a member that wanted to sort of push her issues in her way gave her an appreciation for our caucus members that might be advocating for X, Y, or Z. One of her amazing traits that she grew into as leader is finding ways and really understanding how each of us as legislators need to lead in our way, and finding a way for us to be successful as a team, but understanding the sort of individual role and then the team role. She started as one of those individual kind of players, so to speak, if to use that analogy. And that's one of the areas that really saw her grow.
It strikes me as you tell that kind of story is how she did that. In politics, it's too easy to say that many times leaders, candidates, those who especially seek higher office, it's all about them. And it's all about them. It's their idea. They want the limelight. They want to show the power, the influence of their leadership role in any branch of government, right? From DC to here. But look, it takes a little ego to be in politics, A, and be a leader in politics, B. But one of the things that I saw behind the scenes, and you probably saw it even more so, was how she encouraged or supported or tried to build confidence. I think that's it, in others to become their own leaders. And I think of Mayor Her, who I've talked to this about. I remember Melissa, one story was I asked her to be on the porch at the fair, and she said, no, but please have Representative Her. She needs the media reps. And that's her private way of saying, like, I want her to get better at being visible and spokesperson. And there's countless stories of that. And I do think, I will just say this, I think that is extremely unique in a leader of a caucus, that they were all about helping other people grow in their leadership and their voice and their confidence publicly. And I need you to take this assignment. I'm going to trust you to take this assignment. Leader Stevenson and I have talked about that. But tell any stories about you being from going from staff to a member, where maybe you needed a little, you know, mind shift of, oh wait, I'm a member now. She needs me to do this differently.
It's really well put. I do think it is incredibly unique the way she operated vis-a-vis the limelight. You know, that was never anything that she cared to do. In fact, she actively sometimes really didn't like the sort of public facing communications work of this job. She'd far rather figure out how we're going to get things done than, you know, do media interviews. But, you know, example of that for me was in my very first session. One of the issues that I brought forward was passing our emergency insulin access bill. And it sort of just naturally kind of raised in terms of its profile to it sort of became a leadership level issue. And time and again, you know, I'd be seeking guidance from Melissa, and I can think of some specific examples where media had questions that were sort of leadership, potentially level questions that I think some leaders might think I should probably do this interview.
Yeah.
But she, at every turn without question, you know, she said, this is the issue that you brought forward. You're the expert, you know, and you should do the interview and you should trust your own instincts. And that's, I think, how she approached a lot of those mentorship moments with legislators, mm-hmm. not to sort of say like, you know, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. Here's what you should do. A little bit more so to try to build the muscle for legislators to trust their own instincts and guts and guts about what they need to do. And, you know, I'd been a legislative staffer. I had been around this place a long time, but it's different being a legislator in so many different ways. And I needed those growth opportunities as well. And Melissa was, I think, understood that more than I even did in the moment.
And just a couple more things. My guest is Mike Howard. He's a state representative, but he was a House communications staff and communications director before he was a state representative. He's known Melissa Hortman a long time. Mike, I don't expect you to kind of give details about in caucus, but I know from the trifecta through the tie that the caucus got rancorous and sometimes probably the debates were pretty tough. Give a sense of her personality during those moments, how leaders in a divided caucus or in a disruptive caucus meeting that's private, but give a sense of how she brought people together or led them to her thing. I think when you started, you said consequential ability to go from A to B to C, like a good lawyer, if A, then B, which I learned right. for my brief moment in law school. But she just did that. Like, it was just the way she woke up every day, right?
Absolutely. And that helped us through those tough moments as a caucus. And I'd point to a couple of the elements that we've already talked about. One is she was never a leader who was going to, you know, try to silence anyone. Mm-hmm. And that was important in tough moments for our caucus, that everybody sort of feel like they can bring themselves authentically to a conversation, even if it's a tough one. Two, she had a really good knack of when to sort of speak up and weigh in and when to let us as a team kind of work through an issue. You know, and I've seen this play out in ways with different leaders over the years. There's a balance between a leader saying, here's the direction that I think we should go, and providing space through sort of conflict to have our caucus kind of work through some of these issues together. But there would be these moments where she would sort of recognize that here's the moment to crystallize for us again, like, here's our choice. And do so usually not in a very emotional way, but a concrete way about, I hear what we're saying. Here's choice A and the consequences of choice A. Here's the choice B and the consequences of choice B. And to steer us as a caucus towards a particular path, but not so in a way that sort of really delegitimizes real hard feelings, real hard opinions. And it's how we sort of felt grounded in some of these really, really difficult moments. There was this sense that Melissa was going to help us make a choice, and move that next step forward. I mean, that was really, really important during the beginning of this last term with, this unprecedented situation of a tied legislature. I really don't think anybody could have got our caucus through that like Melissa did.
You posted a text and I shared some in Friday's edition of Morning Take. And I've been holding on to them for a year. And I will tell you that I've gotten other screenshots of text since I posted mine of people who in moments of tension were there. But as I scrolled through, I'm grateful for the memorialization of those text messages, right? If this was 30 years ago, these would have been conversations, not something we could kind of go back on. Any of those exchanges as we wrap up here that you just want to leave with Minnesotans, that in an election year where we're divided, where rhetoric is as harsh as ever, a leader who was never that harsh, she really, really wasn't. And even when she, in her final text message to me, tried to remind me that the public was on the DFL House Caucus side through a poll, and I could joust back and say, I have plenty of polls that show you what's popular that the legislature doesn't do. Her response was touche, and I'll remember. Any of those final thoughts as we reflect on Melissa Hortman, 1 year later?
Yeah, it is a gift to have some of these text messages that you can sort of scroll through in a moment to kind of remember a connection. I think a lot of my colleagues are leaning on those moments, those experiences that we've had, and having some text messages. I was scrolling through, and the thing that struck me just as a reminder is that Melissa is one that loved the to engage in this work of the legislature, of politics, and was always eager to kind of, have a debate back and forth on X, Y, or Z. In terms of sort of the rhetoric piece, she was one that wanted to sort of be clear, again, focused on outcomes versus name calling, X, Y, or Z, that type of thing was clear. But she's also, she led our caucus campaigns for a number of cycles and was clear-eyed about the importance of elections and was also really effective in that role too for us, guiding us through some pretty tough elections and staying on top or in a tie. And then just the last thing that sort of came up in my text messages, I texted with Melissa the night after the 2024 session when we got short on time. We had to call the question. We had one of those kind of boisterous, loud moments at the end of session where people are yelling, and Melissa was in classic fashion, just even, steady, and guided the legislature through a really difficult time. And frankly, that's what we had to do because of a lot of filibustering over the last many days with the Republicans. And I texted her about that and giving her some kudos. And she responded with one of her little quips, which is another thing that she, for someone who didn't necessarily like media or relish it, she was always one for a good quip. And she had fired back, like the quote of like, "Hey, sometimes you got to put the toddler's pajamas on the hard way, and I prefer the easy way, but sometimes you got to do it the hard way." And that was her sort of reflection of what it was like getting through that last night of session. And she would always bring a little bit of that levity to this work as well. And so I think a lot of us can lean on that levity too, in a place that can be hard for all the reasons Melissa brought that to this work too. And I think we're grateful to have those things to lean on, those memories to lean on. That will kind of be there forever for us.
Mike Howard, state representative, longtime House member, and somebody I've known for almost 20 years. Thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, more reflections on Melissa Hortman and the events of 1 year ago. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I want to make this take this week about my biggest reflection on Melissa Hortman. And that's her ability to build, maintain, and lean into relationships of trust. I've talked a lot about the trust crash and the lack of trust in our institutions, which I understand and which are constantly under pressure. But on Friday, I published texts with Melissa, a few select texts between Melissa and Hortman and I over the years. You can see those at thedailyagenda.com. That gave a peek into the way she would have dialogue. And I am not unique to this. Some of her colleagues started sharing texts too, of how she built trust, how she believed in honest, frank conversations. And there was never anger. There was never a lot of emotion with Melissa Hortman. There was a diligent drive to either make you understand, give you an informative update, or for her colleagues, clearly, as you heard before, encourage them to find their own path to leadership. In the week that Angie Craig and Tom Emmer's embrace became an internet meme and troll, I want us to just pause and realize that the one thing that would help our divide and our dissension amongst the parties is to ignore the trolling and memeing, but also to lean into the relationship. And so, if you're a current legislator or elected official, whether it's the media, whether it's an analyst, whether it's your colleagues, whether it's industry, whether it's lobbyists, build relationships. There's been a loss of that at the Capitol. Some legislators won't even meet with certain groups or certain industries. That doesn't help governing. That doesn't help policy. And when you can have that human connection, whether it be over kids or where you're from, it changes the conversation. You can still disagree, as Kelly Moeller said, but there's more constructive ways in which to disagree than tweeting or posting. In fact, the lack of self-awareness of those electeds who post only to bash, only to critique, only to use words and phrases to frame things inaccurately are filling their own endorphins and those who seek those endorphins. But if you know anything about endorphins, the human connection brings healthier endorphins. And so, as we go through this election season, as I talk to candidates, whether we disagree or agree, whether I think they are running a great campaign or a not so great campaign, work on the relationship. The connection of the human spirit might be the last best hope. Bridge the divide that we have. And in honor of Melissa Hortman, who did it as well as anyone I've met in 30 years doing this, I know it works. You can follow us all week at thedailyagenda.com. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday at 6:20. reach out, tell me what you think about the show. You can email BloisOlson@gmail.com. Send us your best tips and reflections. Until next week, that's The Take.